Welcome to In the Moment. I'm Steve Squimke. T. Wilson King is known as the King of the Guitar in these parts. A native of Sioux City, King records in his studio in Vermilion. He has appeared on SDPB's No Cover, No Minimum. He has performed on the Jazz Fest stage in Sioux Falls and countless stages all over. His list of influences and friends in the music business is too numerous to mention, but sharing the stage with names like B.B. King, Santana, the Allman Brothers, Gatemouth Brown, Warren Zevon, Bob Weir, and Keb Moe demonstrates how well-respected T. Wilson King is as a guitarist. Now, next Friday night, T. Wilson King is the featured artist for NMM Live at Farber Hall on the USD campus in Vermilion for a performance called Three Guitars. We'll explain that in just a moment. But first, T. Wilson King, welcome back to In the Moment.
It's a pleasure to be here again, Steve. It's like I was just here.
No kidding. Also with us this morning is National Music Museum curator Arian Sheets. She'll be telling us more about the guitars that T. Wilson King will play next Friday night. Arian, welcome back. I'm glad you can join us this morning.
Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. T. Wilson, let's begin. Now, how many guitars do you have in studio with you today?
We have two guitars.
Two guitars, and these are two that you'll be playing next Friday night. Let me go to Arian first of all. Arian can kind of fill us in on the guitars that are part of the Three Guitars program, and which two are with us in studio?
The ones that are with us today are both from before World War II, which is a particularly desirable period of American guitar making. One is a model from the C.F. Martin Company of Nazareth, Pennsylvania, called a 00018, and it is a what's known as a jumbo style guitar, and it has mahogany back and sides and a pretty sunburst top. And this is a classic model that the Martin Company still produces today. And the other model is a Gibson Nick Lucas model from between 1934 and 1936. And this guitar is a little bit smaller and a little bit deeper front to back. So it's a different style of model. And it was created with Nick Lucas, who was a very prominent artist at the time. His tie-in to the model would have helped sell guitars, so it was really kind of a celebrity model. And this whole phenomena really started taking off in the 20s through the 30s of tying celebrities with particular instrument models.
Wow, so some of these come from quite a ways back. T. Wilson, are you tuned? Are you ready to go with the song right away here?
I do have one of these tuned up.
Okay. And, which one are you going to play on first and kind of go ahead and fill us in on what you have in store for us?
This is the Martin, 1935. And I'm going to do a little jazz riff on it, a little instrumentation called Bear Creek Road. The neck on this is a little different. You tell this one's sitting in the case for a little while.
Yeah, well, we originally were going to do this program last year, and we got snowed out. So this is a long-delayed celebration of these three instruments. And these instruments were all given by a very special donor, John Barmeyer, who lived in Georgia. He was a board member of the museum and a phenomenal collector. He collected guitars that not only were in really great condition, vintage guitars, but also sounded fantastic. And unfortunately, he passed away. And so this is kind of also a celebration of him and his legacy and his generous gifts to the museum, without which our guitar gallery would be much poorer.
Arian, am I correct in that there are actually more than these three guitars as part of that collection?
Yeah, there are actually quite a few. We selected just a kind of a sampling of them, and but you'll hear different ones at different points in our programming at the museum. They're all in playable condition. We just try to use them judiciously so that we keep them in really good museum-grade condition.
Yeah, we appreciate so much you bringing these for T. Wilson to play for a moment in sound today. T. Wilson, you mentioned going up the neck was a little difficult on the 1930s Martin that you're playing right now. Can you explain that?
Well, actually, we had the tuning off there a little bit. Okay. We were going for a little Eastern kind of sound on that, apparently, on that low E. So that made it a little strange going up the neck, but I think we just got that fixed.
No, this is one of the challenges of using museum instruments. People are always like, oh, well, you work in a museum. Don't you want to play all the instruments? Well, I always tell them I can't even keep my own instruments in working order. How hard would it be to keep, you know, all these instruments in working order? It really can be a challenge because instruments are, you know, at least the stringed instruments are made of organic materials, and these organic materials absorb moisture and release moisture, and they move around and they change. And so sometimes you can be in for some surprises when you pull an instrument out that hasn't been played for some time. And some people say, oh, well, if you're not playing the instruments, they lose their soul or something. That's not true at all. It's really more of a matter of it can be challenging to bring things back to a certain setup on short notice and then, you know, have the instrument stabilize, have the player get adjusted. And that's always the case when a player is using an instrument not familiar to them.
Right.
So the instruments don't lose anything by not being played. It's just sometimes, you know, we got to kind of get the adjustments, get all that stuff done kind of on a quick notice.
And T. Wilson, you know as well as any other guitarist, and non-guitarists may not realize this, but how climate is so important to these instruments. You go into a guitar store, and the temperature in that room, the humidity level is so important. You'll see guys that have like plastic containers with sponges inside their guitar case. It's important because your fretboard can really, the climate can wreak havoc on that fretboard and almost render your guitar useless.
It can do that if you're not careful, for sure. People that leave their guitars in cars and they get hot, and then they open them up into cold temperature. The top can check, the finish can check on it, plus the necks can warp, and it's a challenge.
Have you played any of the guitars from this collection in the past, the T. Wilson?
I strung them up and played them a little bit about a year ago.
Okay.
When we were going to do that
right,
show.
Right.
And also there's one there's one that Tom's played multiple times before. It's a J-185 that we're also going to hear in concert. It's a great, really good, stable playing guitar. It's fantastic. So, we'll hear that one too.
All right. T. Wilson, do you have something ready to go for us here?
I do. I'm sticking with the D30, the
triple 18.
It sounded good.
1935.
Yeah.
And I think we have it up into Western tuning now. So it's just a finger picking number called More Now. This thing just rings. use an alternating bass type picking right.
King of the Guitar, T. Wilson King with us for Moment in Sound on SDPB Radio in our Vermilion studio. And also joining him is curator at the National Music Museum, Arian Sheets. T. Wilson, I'm wondering, I know you live just a hop, step, and a jump from the National Music Museum, but how did you begin your relationship with them?
Well, it was shortly after, it was about a year after B.B. King played Slagle Hall. And I had met him before, and I got to see him there, too. And I thought, I was walking by one day thinking, you know, the museum would be, it'd be great if we could get a Lucille guitar in the museum. So I just went in on a cold call and talked to Andre Larson, the founding director, and said, maybe we could get a Lucille guitar and get it signed by B.B. King here. And so that began the relationship. It took about a year and a half to get that done, but we did get one over there. And then since then, I've just occasionally played at their Brown Bag series and a couple of these concerts also.
Yeah. Have you played the Lucille guitar, by the way?
I played it a little bit before we put it in there.
Nice.
I had it at the house for a little bit. It was kind of hard to let it go.
Nice.
It's sitting out at the coffee cup right now on the second level on the stairway, which is really just fitting because B.B. spent most of his life on the road. So
yeah, is that that's one of the pop-up exhibits then, right? Correct?
Yes, it is.
And we talked about one of the pop-up exhibits on Wednesday, the Tommy Boland guitar at the Dakota Brick House in Vermilion, and there are several pop-up exhibits. Arian, what are about 8 or 9 of them right now?
Yeah, these exhibits are, I mean, it's a great collaboration with businesses that support the museum, mm-hmm. and we provide instruments, we provide an exhibit case and labels, and they provide the venue where people can come and see the objects, and it's a way that our visitors can still see some of our objects while we're closed for the mm-hmm. renovation period. So we're really excited about the pop-up exhibit program, and we're likely going to be continuing this too after the museum reopens, just because it's been so popular.
Yeah, and it was so fun to visit with T. Wilson Wednesday about the Tommy Boland guitar, and maybe we can do some more of that in the future. Speaking of the renovation, Arian, can you tell us where that's at right now?
Well, if you drive by our Clark Street facility, you'll see that they've got the main structure of the new addition up. They're grading the ground in the front of it to lead up to the new entrance, and I guess we're hoping to be in the building next year, though the exhibits will not be or maybe even at the end of this year. But the exhibits won't be ready yet. It'll just be that the staff can actually move in and start using the space and preparing for the reopening.
It's a great asset to South Dakota and the entire region. And to have the live performances is a bonus, too. And once again, T. Wilson King will perform next Friday night at 7 p.m. Three Guitars is the title of the performance at Farber Hall in Old Main on the USD campus. Again, that's Friday, January 17th. T., it sounds like you're maybe tuning the second of the two guitars you have in studio.
I am, and I think we have it pretty close.
Okay, which one is this, Arian?
This is the Gibson Nick Lucas model from between 1934 to 1936. And wow. Visitors to the concert, we'll actually see it's quite a different shape. It's a narrower body, deeper, and it just has a different character to it. Really, all these guitars, yes, they're all guitars. Yes, they all have steel strings, but depending on the model and the types of woods used, they'll have a quite different character, which is why guitarists always need more guitars.
Yeah. T, what do you normally play when you play acoustic guitar, or do you play several different ones?
I have a 75 Guild D40 that I've been using for a long time, and a couple years ago I picked up a Taylor. I forget the model of it, but it puts the sound out on stage real well without feeding back.
Yeah.
The other one is getting kind of beat up, so I also have a 1930 Dobro that I got in San Francisco a long time ago in a little shop.
Yeah.
That do slide and things like that on it.
I think I've seen you play that one. There was a video of you at Jazz Fest a few years back. And I can't remember the name of the song, but I'm guessing that was probably the guitar.
That was the one. It's called Snake Charmer.
Yeah, that's it. That's the one. Yeah, I would.
People can see that if they Best of Jazz Fest 2009, and then my name, they'll see that particular cut.
I was just going to recommend that. Glad you mentioned that. Let's go ahead and hear this. Hear the Gibson. King, again from our studio in Vermilion, Moment in Sound, and again he performs next Friday night at Farber Hall in Old Main on the USD campus, NMM Live, beginning at 7 p.m. I'm wondering, when you strung these guitars a year ago, T. Wilson, if you chose anything particular. I know there are some of the more expensive strings, like the Elixirs, the ones that don't squeak quite as much when you finger them along the fretboard. Did you go with anything in particular, or just kind of what you normally play?
I kind of went for the economy numbers because I didn't think they'd be played that often. And so these are actually Darkos.
Okay.
I think light gauges, because I didn't want to put anything too heavy on them.
Yeah. And it's just interesting. These are, again, from the John Barmeyer collection at the National Music Museum. It'll be fun when the museum reopens again after the renovation to see the entire collection. T, you have so many styles. You go through so many genres. And we talked before that song about the Snake Charmer, the video from the old Jazz Fest performance online. And once I got through that, I just went through video after video, listening to song after song, and appreciating the many different styles that you play. Is blues your favorite, or does it really matter?
You know, I like all kinds of styles, Steve, but blues is how I pretty much taught myself how to play guitar.
Yeah.
Just putting on the old roots things, Lightnin' Hopkins, the finger-picking things, John Hurt, Gary Davis, you know, Robert Johnson, of course, for slide and also picking. But then I kind of branched out. I grew up listening to country and things like that. So, you know, I kind of blend them all in there.
When did you begin? Did you begin as a child in Sioux City, or was it later on?
Actually, I got serious about playing when I got out of the Army in 1970. Got a guitar and just pretty much lived with it in my hands for a couple years and got good enough to go down on the street and play for tips, which I did all. This was out in the Bay Area, Santa Cruz, Monterey Bay Area.
A lot of competition and, playing for tips there.
Oh, boy, I'll tell you. I'd play health food restaurants. I had about five or six health food restaurants. I'd go in and get a meal and play for tips. Yeah. There was one place I played. I got 46 cents one night, I remember. But the people were very appreciative up there in the big, tall trees. And occasionally I'd go up to the city and just stand on the corner. I actually stood on the corner of Height and Ashbury.
Nice.
And watched all the people go by and sang my songs.
I was there just a couple of years ago just to see what the famed corner was like. Say, T, we've got about maybe 3 minutes or so. Do you have one more song we could fit in that short time?
I think I might be able to. Here's more of an alternating one called Destiny. I made my home on the wide prairie. Over my head is a starry sky. I've got a horse called Destiny. Together through this life we ride. When sunset colors fill my mind, I build my fire by the riverside. Before I go to sleep each night, I sing this song just to pass the time. This old world keeps on spinning round. Destiny, carry me where I'm bound. Now when my time has come and gone, and all that's left is a memory, to say I live me around his life. All in the saddle of my destiny. This old world keeps on spinning round. Destiny, carry me where I'm bound.
All right. T. Wilson King, Moment in Sound on SDPB Radio. It's been a lot of fun. T. Wilson King's NMM Live concert is next Friday at 7 p.m. It's three guitars at Farber Hall in Old Main on the USD campus in Vermilion. T. Wilson, thank you very much for your time this week, both for Moment in Sound today and our remembrance earlier this week of Tommy Bolin. I appreciate your time so much.
Thank you, Steve, for inviting me.
Anytime.
Hope to see everybody at the show.
You bet. Anytime. You're welcome back anytime. Arian Sheets is the curator at the National Music Museum in Vermilion. Arian, we appreciate very much the information and the guitars that you provided this morning. Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
You're welcome.